your Bibles, please, just for a little while. I don't know exactly how the Lord's going to have this message to go, but I'm glad He knows. He just ain't let me in on it yet. In Acts chapter number 2, Acts 2, and we'll do our very best to preach what God's laid on our heart. The Spirit's work is what we're going to talk about tonight. The Spirit's work. And I won't read everything, but we will, if Lord's willing, we'll look at some other scriptures here in the text. But if you're familiar with your Bible, if you're not, that's okay. But I want you to know that we in a transition. We in a transition, and it takes a little while in the book of Acts from law to the grace of God. And where the Spirit of God did come upon an individual to do a particular work, now in Acts 2, the Spirit of God's going to indwell every Christian. Amen goes right there. I'm thankful that I live in this day. I'm glad I live in the dispensation of God's grace, the church age, where I continually have the Holy Spirit of God that lives in me. But you know, I read Hebrews 11 and what we call the faith chapter, the hall of fame of the faith, and how people in the Old Testament walked with God, sacrificed for God, trusted God, and they did not have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. They didn't even have a Bible. Amen. They had some of the law here and there that was read to them. But everybody have a copy of that in their house. But yet, they believed God. Abraham had none of that. And the Bible said he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So here we are, all these years later, and Calvary has taken place. What they were trusting to happen, we thank God that we trust it did happen. And now we have the fullness of the Spirit of God that lives within us. Amen. I'm going to talk about that. Notice verse 1. The Bible says in Acts 2, 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Now notice that it didn't say it was a rushing mighty wind. It said as a rushing mighty wind. Now get a hold of that. These similes, remember that. As a rushing mighty wind. That's describing when the Spirit came. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Not cloven tongues of fire, but like as of fire. And he sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. Folks, when God moves, it should draw people toward it. Amen. That's what happened. God moved. The Spirit of God moved. And now we find these 120 that was in the upper room waiting on the promise of the Father. That promise, and I repeat this, is what the Lord told the disciples. I'm going to send you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. They were waiting on the fulfillment of the promise. Joel's prophecy is being fulfilled right here. Joel 2:16. Now, Joel 2:16 is a partial prophecy fulfillment. Now, again, when the young people dream dreams and all, I believe that's right before the millennial reign. I don't believe it's now. But yet, God said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. We're seeing that fulfillment right here in the text. And so the Lord moved, the Spirit of God moved, and now multitudes. It went from 120, now multitudes came together, I mean verse 6, and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And it gives all the places where all these people were from. Different places all over the world. They came together. They came together. And they it was amazed. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. Now, I want to preach on that if God help me. And I'll look at some more verses in a moment. Now, remember, in Acts 1, we saw a waiting church. They're waiting, again, for the promise of the Father. Christ had given them His commission and His blessing. Chapter 1, I believe, they replaced Judas, the betrayer, with Matthias, that was chosen to be to fill that vacated apostle spot. Now the believers are waiting and they're praying and something happens. Acts 2. The day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, what's that talking about? Pentecost was the Jews' harvest festival. It was a time when the Jews came before the Lord with their offerings and thanking Him for their harvest. Now, Pentecost means 50. They started counting at the Passover, and they counted off 7 weeks or 49 days. Then the next day was the 50th day, which was Pentecost. Now, there's a lot I could say about that, but the time won't permit me. But a picture of Christ, Jesus, the true Lamb, was slain at the time of the Passover. He arose and remained on earth for 40 days. Chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that. The believers prayed 10 days. On the 50th day, Pentecost had fully come, and the Lord sent the Holy Spirit. Now, in the first four verses, we're going to talk about the Spirit of God. We're going to notice these verses and try our best just to follow the Spirit of God, and I hope you're praying for me. Now, again, I mentioned this. In Acts 2, the promise has been fulfilled. Joel 2:28. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's fulfilled right there. John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:7-11. All that Jesus had promised the disciples that He would send another comforter, it had taken place. The promise, the prophecy had been fulfilled right here in Acts 2. I'm going to go ahead and stop here and say this. The Lord has fulfilled all these prophecies. The prophecy, well, we could go on different prophecies. The prophecy of Christ coming, His birth. The prophecy of His death. The prophecy of His resurrection. The prophecy of the Holy Spirit. All these things have already been fulfilled. Then you tell me why God would renege on the prophecy of His second coming. You tell me, if He's fulfilled all these prophecies in Christ, why would He renege? Why would you say, well, it ain't happened yet? I'm sure they probably said that in the Old Testament when they was waiting on the birth of Christ. But it ain't happened yet. They's probably talking like this too. I've heard that all my life. But one day, the Bible said when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son made of a woman. Jesus came. That prophecy was fulfilled. And we're hearing this. Well, I've heard all my life, Jesus is coming back. I've heard all my life, Christ is coming back. Hey, you're going to keep hearing it. But one day, one day the trump of God is going to sound. One day the dead in Christ is going to rise. One day we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. One day it'll be fulfilled as well. Why would He fulfill all the other ones concerning Christ and leave that one off? All of a sudden God turned into a liar. We know God forbid. He's a God that cannot lie. That's why I want to say this, and I know we had five professions of faith this morning. We give God the glory, but if you're not ready, I'd get ready. I would get ready. So we see the promise is fulfilled, but then we see the procedure followed. Now, in verse 1 of chapter 2, notice this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Folks, we believe this Bible. I believe every word of it. And I believe every word that's in here, God meant to put it there. I believe that much of divine inspiration. God's word is divinely inspired. So he let us know that when the day of Pentecost was come, that 120 was in one place, was in one accord and in one place. Preacher, what's the significance of that? Well, if you want the power of God in your life, you've got to have the right position, the right relationship. You got to have the right position. You got to have the right. Hey, people wonder, why can't I have the power of God in my life? Because your relationship with God's not right. Then their position was right. Their place was right. What does that show us? Not only was they had the right relationship, but they was in a life of faith and obedience. God said, wait on the promise. They had to believe God. Then they had to obey God. And then they had to wait on God. Those things we don't like to do. We don't like to just trust him. Just show me something, Lord. I don't want to have to trust your word, and I sure don't want to wait on it. Maybe I'm the only one that gets that way. But these people here, they got to experience Pentecost power. Because they were with all in one accord. There wasn't nobody fussing, fighting, bickering. They was in one accord. That don't mean they was all in a Honda. God forbid. But they were together. Believing the one, trusting the one, waiting on the one. Now let me ask you this, and I know that the majority here, the biggest majority here, knows the answer. Why did God send the Holy Spirit into this world? Why did the Lord send? Well, there's a general answer to that, and it's simply like this: to take the place of Jesus to do His work until He comes again. That's the general reason. I will send you another comforter. That word comfort means parakletos. One that's going to come along beside you and never leave you nor forsake you. Now you got to remember this, folks. Just because the Holy Spirit is the third person mentioned in the Trinity doesn't make him third. He has not the power of God the Father, God the Son. He's the third one that's brought into us. God is one God, but manifest himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal in all power and attribute. We accept that by faith. So we understand, in the general sense, to take Jesus' place to do his work until he comes again. But he would do other things. Here's what the Holy Spirit does on this earth. Number one, he conveys the things Jesus said to the apostles to their remembrance. He conveyed it to them. They would remember things that Christ said. What's causing that? The Spirit of God. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing when you read the Word of God and you'll say, I don't know, it's not doing me any good. I don't feel anything. So a lot of people, when they don't feel anything when they read the Word of God, they think they're wasting their time. I don't understand that. I don't feel anything on that. Folks, reading the Word of God ain't about what you're feeling. It's obedience. But isn't it amazing that you read a text, you read a verse, you study a subject, and you feel like, man, I don't understand none of that, I don't get it. And sometime down the road, a conversation will come up in your presence. You'll be talking to someone, and the Spirit of God will bring that very word to your remembrance. I've had it happen to me a trillion times, and I stand amazed. You ain't read that text in a month. You read it 2 months ago. And the whole time, I didn't feel nothing on it. I don't really know what good it done, but I was obedient. I read the Word of God. I promise you, conveying truth is what the Holy Spirit come to do. He was to guide us in all truth. And it's amazing. You can be speaking to someone. You can be talking to someone. They have a question. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know how that just come into my mind. I'll tell you how. You read it, and the Holy Spirit brought it back to you. And people think you smart. People think you're a theologian. And you know what? We let them think it, don't we? And all it was the work of the Spirit. All it was the work of the Spirit that lives within us, that brought it back to us. It blows me away how that happens. I mean, it blows me away how that happens. I'll tell you something else that's amazing. I have had it happen to me, and as someone listening to a message, and I've had people come to me and say this. Isn't it amazing that you read something in the Word of God and you're really trying to understand it? You don't really get it. I mean, maybe I'm just because I don't get a lot. And you pray over it, and it seems like the next sermon you hear, that's the subject matter. And the Lord will use a man of God or a Sunday school teacher that's filled with the Spirit to preach on that and bring it to your heart. What's happening? The Holy Spirit of God is conveying truth to you. He may do it through someone, but it's still the Spirit of God. Still the Holy Spirit of God. So, the other thing he did was to convey the things Jesus said to bring back to the apostles' remembrance, and he does it for us. So I hope maybe that right there will encourage you, even though you don't feel like, man, I'm reading my Bible and I just don't understand. I don't get it. Folks, this is a spiritual book. You can change it. You can reverse it. Unless the Holy Spirit shows it to you, you ain't going to get it. Amen. And God will present truth to us when he's ready for us to take it. He'll give us the truth. He'll show us the truth when he's ready for us to know it. I have struggled with certain things, and even as a preacher, and when God called me, I'd struggle with things, and then one day, out of nowhere, the Spirit of God will cut the light on for me, and I'll say, I see that. I see that. I get that. Now, folks, again, I've not arrived. There's still things. Whoa, folks, you'll never cease to be a student of the Word of God. It's inexhaustible, so don't even try to think I've covered it all and I know it all. That's an impossibility. So nobody can glory in their flesh of their knowledge of the Scripture. But number two, not only does the Spirit of God convey, but the Spirit of God uses that conveyance to do what? To convict. Again, John 16 tells us the Spirit of God convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Tells us, it lets us know where we are. Before I got saved, let me know where I was spiritually. I was dead in trespasses and sin. Let me, convict me of righteousness. My righteousness was filthy rags. I needed somebody else's. And convicted me, pointed out my error in judgment to come. I needed to turn to Jesus or I was going to hell. I needed to get saved or I was going to hell. Oh, happy day. Because I ran for a while the Spirit of God was convicting me of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. I ran from it. I ran from it. I tried to convince myself I was okay. I tried to convince myself I repeated a prayer or I went to an altar. I got baptized. I was a member of a church. I was a good boy. And I kept on wrestling with my own self-righteousness. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit of God was conveying to me what I needed to hear. I was a sinner on my way to hell, and I needed Jesus. Boy, I'm thankful He did not give up on me. I am thankful. Brother Raymond, I'm thankful He didn't give up on me. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And folks, that's why you cannot get saved apart from the work of the Spirit. You cannot get saved apart from the work of the Spirit of God. When Nicodemus approached Christ in the middle of the night and said, Rabbi, I know. Now see, he doesn't say what he knowed. I know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do the things which thou doest unless God sent him. And Jesus said, except a man be born again. Folks, don't let that terminology, being born again, trap you, because it did Nicodemus. It did Nicodemus. He said, what are you talking about? See, Nicodemus knew, he knew law and he knew some things, but he didn't know spiritual things. He said, are you telling me I got to go back into my mother's womb and be born again a second time? And the Lord said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. What was he saying? You got to be born from above. Amen. Born again, that's what he's talking about. You got to be born from above. And we cannot be born from above without two things, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You'll never get saved apart from hearing the Word. God chose the foolish to preach and save them that believe. You'll never get saved apart from the Word of God, and you'll never get saved apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Easy believism. And again, I know people use different terminology and mean the same thing, so I'm not belittling anything. But folks, I did more to make a little bit of decision. I got saved. I got born from above. That moment I got saved, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit of God, who was convicting me, made a lifelong commitment and moved in me. Amen. Yes, sir. A lot of people get away. Well, you just repeat a little prayer. I told you all the story before. It's not in my notes, but it's come to my heart. There was a crowd, and I won't get into all who there was and all that stuff. It wasn't from around here anyway. They began to have a numbers competition. What that mean is, in a certain paper, a certain paper that went out every month, they would put in that paper how many people that got saved that month in their church. And folks, it began to climb. I'm talking about some of them would say they had 300 saved in 1 month. And every month it was like at 100, 200, 300, 400. And you're thinking, man, I bet they're in a building project every year. Yeah, they had 50 in Sunday school, but they led 3,000 to Christ that year. And you begin to wonder, what in the world? You come to find out. I mean, they begin to put things in there. Hey, I jumped out of the car at a red light, and I ran over here and led somebody to Christ and jumped back in before the light turned green. I'm not saying God can't do that, but come on. That is a exception. I mean, that is a wow. But then after that, everybody started leading people to Jesus at the red light. So some of this crowd was out knocking doors, and I still believe in that. We do it. And there's a lady come to the door, and there was a And this is a young preacher telling this. And he just got saved. He wasn't a preacher yet. He was going out with an older Christian to teach him how to do it, how to lead somebody. And I believe you ought to. There's nothing wrong with that. But the woman comes to the door, and they when I say pushed their way in, they didn't push their way in, but, you know, kind of got in. And he began to go through the gospel. And I'm not against that. The Romans Road, not against any of that. That's what we do. And he got the lady to repeat a prayer. She repeated the sinner's prayer. And when she got done, this was her response. Okay, I've let y'all in my house. I repeated your prayer. Now get out of here and never come back. Now, did that woman get saved? The response of the older Christian was this. We're going to leave, ma'am, but just remember, if you die today, you're going to heaven now. There are going to be a lot of people standing before the Lord with blood dripping off of their hands with nonsense like that. I wish I could experience Brother Paul leading somebody to Christ at a red light. I mean, God could put you right there. I mean, we're not putting God in a box. But folks, really, how many times has that ever happened? God can. But I don't think if that happened to me, Brother Paul, I don't think all of a sudden we'd have revival at the red light. Thousands getting saved. You say, preacher, you making God. No, no, no. Folks, it takes the gospel and it takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the Word of God. It takes the Holy Spirit. And I want to ask you something. How many of you, and I'm not saying there probably are some, but as a ratio, how many of you accepted Christ the very first time he dealt with you?
That's right.
Some of you say, I did. And that's possible. That's wonderful. Folks, God has to get us lost.
Amen.
Before he can save us. God had a hard time getting me lost. It took him a year to get me lost. He took hearing preaching week in, week out. Hey, moms and daddies, the very best thing you can do for your children, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, have them under the gospel.
Amen.
Under preaching.
Amen.
Under preaching.
Amen.
I said under preaching.
Amen.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, have them under the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And when the Spirit of God begins to deal with them, and my prayer is that all of them get saved young when their heart's tender.
Yes, sir.
Right. They'll know the Word. You have them under the Word. You have them under the Word. You'll have that part took care of.
Amen.
You see, that's our responsibility.
Amen.
Is get the Word to them.
Right.
That's why God's left us here. That's why God's ordained the church. Amen. But it takes the Holy Spirit. Folks, if it's a spiritual birth, you tell me why the Holy Spirit shouldn't be involved. It's the same concept. When I was born physically, my mother was involved. There was no other way. There's no other way except to see the man and woman come together and God work a miracle.
Amen.
And even that took 9 months. Folks, when the Word of God is, that seed's planted, then that seed's water, and then the Spirit of God, you'll never get born again apart from the Spirit.
Amen.
I spent more time there than I thought I was. So the Holy Spirit of God conveys, the Holy Spirit of God convicts, but aren't you glad the Holy Spirit of God comforts?
Amen.
Another comforter. Folks, that's what Jesus was to the disciples while he's on this earth. He was a comforter.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but hey, he's in the hinder part of the ship, and the storm comes, and he's filling up with water. Who'd they go to? They went to Jesus. Now Christ is trying to work some faith in them. And they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He got up, rebuked them for their little faith, but then he spoke, "Peace be still." And there was a great calm. That brought comfort. The day that they were there in the desert place with the multitudes, and the Lord saw they were hungry, and he called the disciples and said, "Hey, we need to feed this crowd." And he said, "Two penny worth, what's that going to do? We can't buy no food for these people." And the Lord said, "What you got?" He said, "There's a lad here. He's got two sardines and got five little crackers. What is that among so many?" He said, "Bring it here." And he blessed it. Hey, here's another side note. I'm going to run on. Preacher, I don't know why I can't get more. You ain't thankful for what you got. I don't know why I can't have more. You're not thankful for what you got. There's no contentment in your heart. You're not thankful for what you got. Why is God going to give you more? But that's another message for another time. And he break it. And he gave the disciples and distributed. And before that thing was over, everybody was filled, was ate and full. And they had all, 12 baskets that remained. That brought comfort. Hey, they sent for Jesus. Lazarus got sick. They sent for Christ. He waited 4 days. He died. When Jesus found out he died, he headed to Bethany, and they said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, he had not died." He said, "Where have you laid him?" "Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks now." Jesus wept. He groaned in his spirit, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, he was bound. How did he come forth? I believe he gravitated out of there. He said, "Come forth." The Creator spoke. Loose him and let him go. That brought comfort. And folks, the work of the Holy Spirit, that's what Jesus was, a comforter. But he said, "I'm going to go away and I'm going to send you another comforter." That's who we have, the Spirit. Hey, when you get bad news from the doctor, and you want to fall to pieces, and you can, but all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's all of a sudden peace floods like a river. That's the Holy Spirit comforting you. When you're going through a deep trial, you're going through something that, I mean, you can't even pray. And the Spirit of God, you on there with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the Holy Ghost of God takes that and takes it to the Father and says, "Here's what he said." "Here's what he said." And all of a sudden, comfort. When you walk inside of a house and you see your mama sitting in the middle of a couch weeping, and she, first thing she looks at you and says, "Son, I don't want to die." And you sit there and you put your arm around her little frail body and you have not a word you can say. And then as days go, you see the comforter begin to comfort her. I see that little frail woman get up in church and saying, "I won't have to worry anymore." You see the Holy Ghost comfort. And you see the day approaching and the day that Jesus is going to take her to the house. And I'm not talking about Loop Road. He's going to take her home. And they're just pure comfort.
Right.
What's happening? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You and me, we can't do that on our own. There's not a class, there's not a CD or a DVD you can watch of the power of positive thinking to ever comfort you like that. I don't care how many albums he sold. That old dude with the big teeth that's been doing it for years. I can't think of his name. No, I ain't talking about it. See, I'm talking about this dude. I can't think of him. He's got teeth bigger than him. He got some choppers. And thousands and thousands, they've made him a multimillionaire. Him spewing out that propaganda. And none of it gave them peace. None of that helped them sleep at night. But the Holy Spirit of God can do it. Hallelujah. Glory. I wish somebody could think of his name. No, it's not him. It's not him. He's a false prophet. I'm talking about this positive, this dude that, I mean, he don't even claim to be saved, but he, huh? No. He ain't a preacher. No, he ain't a preacher. Y'all quit. Y'all don't know either. Huh? Robbins. Tony Robbins. That's him. Big Tone. Big Tooth Tony, amen. Boy, I need to get right with God. The Holy Spirit's convicting me right now. Lord, forgive me. Tim knew because he bought all the DVDs. No, I'm just kidding. $9.95. That's cheap enough. None of these people can do what the Spirit of God can do.
Right.
What a comforter. But he also commissions. My time's gone. He also commissions. What do you mean? The same Holy Spirit, through the Word of God that convicted me of sin, commissioned me to service. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. Folks, the only reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because the Spirit of God commissioned me to do it. And He used that, the Word of God.
Right.
You understand? Do you understand the term soul liberty? That's a good term. What does that mean? You belong to God, and you don't have to go to the preacher, the Pope, or anybody else to get orders of what God wants you to do. If the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, you've been born again, He'll tell you what you need to do. My parents, my sweetheart, which is now my wife, they was all as shocked as I was when I told them the Spirit of God, the Lord's calling me to preach. They was as shocked as I was. As a matter of fact, my father-in-law's been pastoring for 50-something years, two churches, 50-something years, and had three daughters. She was the oldest one. And he'd always tell them, I'm praying, y'all marry preachers. Now I'm going to give y'all some advice, girls. If you don't want to marry a preacher, don't say out loud, I'm not marrying a preacher. Out of the three, she's the one that said, I will never marry a preacher. As Gomer said, surprise, surprise. Yeah. And that's one of the things the devil used for me not to want to surrender, because I didn't hear her say it. Because me and her was in total agreement. I ain't married a preacher. Don't worry about it. If you marry me, I'll never do that. Another piece of advice, don't ever say what you're not going to do. I'll take up an offer for myself right away for those two pieces of advice. Don't ever say I'll never do that, because we are purchased possessions, and the Spirit of God conveys truth, He convicts, He comforts, and He commissions to service. Folks, I mean, you understand that, a lot of people have ugly things to say about, like, men, families going into missions, going to places, different places. And they say, well, we got people here's lost. But that ain't where the Spirit of God's sending them. Folks, that's not where the Spirit of God... Folks, America is without excuse. And He sends them places. Folks, do you not think those people would not rather pastor church in the neighborhood they were raised in? Like I had the privilege of doing? I mean, folks, they tell me one of the most lonely things in this world is for a missionary family to obey God's call on their life, raise that support and get to that foreign soil, and then get off that plane in that place and watch it fly off. And they have nobody there. Except another missionary family that they're going to work with to get to know the land and the people and then branch off. How in the world does that even happen? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. And I'm going to go ahead and say this. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you away or lead you to something that's not of God. That's not scriptural. That's you. How do you know? Because I've led myself to places that God never had anything to do with. Amen. That the Holy Spirit of God never had anything to do with. And you're going to be a miserable person if you don't just let God and the Spirit of God lead your life the way He wants to lead it. And the last thing, and this is just point one. Don't worry, I'm not preaching the rest of them. He guides us. He conveys the things Jesus said. He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He comforts, He commissions, and empowers us for service. And He guides us. It's the Holy Spirit of God guiding your life. He'll guide you through this. Do you have a word? When God called me to preach, He gave me a word on it. See, He first converts. I can alliterate this. He first converts and then He commissions to work. He don't call you, then save you. He saves you, then calls you to a particular thing. Are you following the Holy Spirit of God with your life? Are you letting the Lord lead you and guide you? Help us, Lord. Let's all stand. Thank you for your patience. Courtney's coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar's open.